korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Everybody, welcome to the Better Than Roasted podcast. People, come on. Greg Wilson, we have Ween Dog.
What's up?
Man, I was complaining about, I love my wife. I got the best wife I could get possibly, but times are hard for couples right now if you live together, especially if you're a comic and you're used to being on the road. And like right now, the road is my living, is my couch. You know, like it used to be the road was another state. Now it's like, yeah. I can't even leave my house. And I got into an argument with my wife because my dog is like, first of all, the dog is from the ex-girlfriend. So she's already, there's always that.
So there's always a bit of prejudice there.
And then the dog is now like 14 years old. It bit my kid. It bit her. It can't see. It's shitting everywhere. It was used as bait for pit bull fighting. So I have a soft spot for it. It's walking into the cat litter. It doesn't know where it is. And it's on its last limb. But it's shitting everywhere and peeing everywhere. And my wife's, and then if I'm on the road, she has to take care of it. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to give the dog. The vet told me the dog can still be okay. The vet said that you can keep the dog alive. So I'm spending $400 a month on medicine for it.
Oof.
At least keep this dog alive. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? You know? So I don't know. Anyway,
I know what she wants you to do.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
And I gotta tell you, I'm not entirely not on her side.
I see both sides. I can see both sides.
Yeah, exactly. And I can see both sides too. But there is a humane aspect. You know, I've seen this before. And I'm not saying this is necessarily the case with you, Adam, but I've seen it before where owners love their dogs too much to put them down. So instead, they let them suffer. And to the outside looking in, again, I'm not saying that's you. I lost it.
And then it was.
You know, but it was to your point, what you were saying earlier, you know, I used to say it all the time. I was like, we're so lucky in that, you know, being comedians, we have these natural breaks built into our job description. You know, I mean, no matter what, it's like, all right, see ya. You know, and then whenever you go away, you miss your wife so much, and you get to, it's like this constant refresher that you get to go on. And now we don't have that. And now we're just on top of each other 24/7. And it is stressful for all couples. I mean, the whole reason I went to Vegas the other weekend was because we reached that point, you know, of the pandemic where everything I said was driving my wife crazy. Like every single thing, like I would be like, Summer, and they would just be like, what? And I was like, yeah, I gotta go. You need a break from the noise. I dig it. I'm out. It helped. It was a great restart.
Like, I got up at 6 in the morning for the baby, went back to bed at 8. She thinks going to bed, waking up at 9 is sleeping in. And
for regular people it is, but for comedians that's two hours early for comedians.
The podcast, and I'm doing shows at night, so it's like,
yeah,
the day is like completely stretched out. Anyway, let's talk about fighting, because I know that I'm not getting divorced. I love my wife, she's great. It's just fucking hard. It's hard on everybody. I don't know why
everybody, dude.
I don't know why I'm even talking.
Everybody.
I know I'm gonna get fucking big comments from people, but whatever. Trying my hardest. And then she books a fucking hotel in Vegas this week. I'm going to Toothless Tom's wedding this Saturday. And she books a hotel.
Who is Toothless Tom?
Tom Glitchio?
Yeah. And then she books a hotel that doesn't have dogs. So now what do I do? So
that seems pretty deliberate.
Well, I know, but now
that's actually very sneaky. Like, got us the hotel. Oh, we can't bring the dog. It won't.
We're keeping my baby at my dad's. The nanny's coming to watch the baby, but the nanny refuses to watch the dog because it's bitten her. And then I'm not going to keep the dog at my dad's because God forbid he gets COVID from walking him. You know, so now I just killed the dog killed off my father. You know, so it's like.
You could drop the dog at a doggy hotel. There's plenty of those in LA.
Right.
But I don't think they're operating right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
I think they're part of the whole, you know,
All right, let's lockdown. Talk about pipes.
I don't know. I'm not for sure, but because there's one right on La Brea, and it doesn't look like it's been open in months. So that's the depth of my knowledge on that. You're in a pickle, buddy.
No, my ex got this dog, did no fucking research on it. It was missing an ear. Then we take it to the dog fucking park. It attacks every dog by the throat. I realize it's a bait dog for pit bull fighting. Then she's like, I can't take care of him because he keeps biting everybody and they're going to kill him and yada, yada. I'm like, I'll take him. She gets another dog that looks just like him. Just to piss. Like she gets a nice version of him.
I mean, clearly you should have married the dog.
And then she dated Anthony Jeselnik. I mean,
that's the anyway, one you're so. Committed to.
I know. That's what my wife says. She's like, you guys could go sleep together and stuff. And this, I don't know, whatever. She's like, I thought he'd be dead by now. She keeps saying that. I don't know.
But I'm happy Pinned got into the North Hollywood Film Festival. That's badass.
Yeah, man. That's great. Yeah.
In the Studio City Film Festival. All right, McCorkle, how are you?
Doing all right, man. I was just thinking when Greg, actually two things. One, all your wife wants to know is that that she is more important than the dog. That's all you have to make sure she knows. Yeah. And then she'll be cool. Make sure you know she knows that you would sacrifice that dog and eat it raw if it made her happy. And then she'll be cool. And then secondly.
And then do it.
Secondly, Greg was saying, you know, like couples need to break from each other. So stand-up works out. It actually works out for Brendan Schaub because this COVID thing has given his fans a break from Brendan Schaub.
Thank you.
It's been really nice for them to not have to pretend like he's funny anymore.
That's one. I'm just going to keep tally this week.
Yes. I know. My wife says.
That's one.
That's exactly what she says. And she is the number one priority in my life. She really is.
You know, what's his name? Keeps track of all the cup checks during the UFC fights.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep track of all the Schaub checks.
All right.
Let's go. One good one.
I took my wife to the zoo yesterday, my wife and the baby to the zoo. And my wife, the baby kept saying, let's see elephants. And then like, she kept pointing to the cages and goes, look, elephant. But there were like these huge people in front of the thing.
You're like, shh, that's the joke we make at home, honey.
All right.
That's a home joke.
Let's talk about Corey Sandhagen. Man, he proved me wrong.
Proved me wrong too, boy. You know, it's a testament to. I mean, this the length thing. I mean, I don't know if it started. It kind of started. I mean, John Jones was really the guy that like you're like, wow, this length can make such a huge difference in these divisions. And you saw it again on Saturday with Sandhagen. I mean, wow, Marais couldn't get to him.
That wheel kick also. Now, I mean. How do you prepare for that, Sean? Since you're the only fighter here.
Just pray to God it doesn't happen. That's what nobody can defend that, man. No one sees that coming. That's out of a movie. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't see it coming, man.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, you know what's crazy about fighting? It's like there are times you could do everything right but still lose. And that's one of the saddest things. I mean, like, even like the Ben Askren versus Masvidal. Like, he did not know there was a flying knee coming in 5 seconds. Like, granted, I mean, looking back in hindsight, maybe Askren should have realized, hey, don't start every single fight, just put your head down, sort of, coming, you know. But it worked 18 out of 18 times before that, you know. So, but how many times when you're sparring do guys throw that in sparring?
None if they don't want to get beat up. You know, I heard a story about Matt Mitrione's notorious for sparring too hard, and he was going to spar with what's his name, Overeem, when he was on a bunch of steroids, so most of his career. But no, he was going to spar with Overeem, and I knew it was going to go badly because Overeem was known for sparring too hard. Matt was known for sparring too hard. So Matt calls me, goes, dude, you ain't going to believe what happened. I said, let me guess. You hit Overeem or kicked him too hard, he got mad and beat you up. And he goes, wait, did somebody already tell you? I said, no, I just know you and I know him, you know. And I guess Matt's telling me, said, yeah, I inside leg kicked him. Okay, maybe a little too hard, maybe twice, maybe three, four, five times, whatever. He said too hard, but he goes, all of a sudden, Overeem's throwing spinning back fists, spinning wheel kicks, knees with no pads, you know, into my ribs, stuff like that, and end up hurting Matt. But, yeah, nobody does anything stupid like that unless they want to get beat up for real, man, in sparring. So,
but if guys aren't doing that in sparring, then how are you going to prepare for it in a fight?
Just hope to God they're not slick enough to pull it off because that doesn't work. I mean, that's not going to work 99 times out of 100, man.
That right? Yeah, perfect. Usually that's going to miss the target.
Yeah, perfect timing, perfect balance. The guy happened to hold his ankle weird and weird angle, you know, like.
Well, we haven't even got to that one yet. We're talking about the first one. The first spinning wheel kick with Morass versus Sanhagen.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one where the guy caught his leg and he
spun. No, we'll get to that next.
No, that's the superhero kick, man. That shit doesn't even exist. Right,
but yeah, let's just get to that. See, now, they kept saying how Impa always has, like, he's brand new at fighting. He's newer. Hasn't taken so much damage. He's newer. He's green. Is that holding on to that kick as long as he did and not throwing it to the side, is that something a green fighter would do?
I think it's something anybody would do that's never been kicked like that before, but I bet you see it a lot less now. Like, the guys have seen it, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like when Conor McGregor had a movement coach, nobody had one until he started winning fights, and all of a sudden everybody's playing grab ass in the park with a guy with a ponytail, you know? Or maybe that was just me. But yeah. I should have said Brendan Schaub there, but I didn't want to jump the count up too quick. But no, it's a...
Oh, yeah, that's two.
It counts.
No, I mean, you can't see that coming, but I bet guys will try it now more, just like John Jones spinning elbows, you know? Like, he was the first one to start doing that, and people are like, man, that does work, you know? So then everybody started doing it, and then Gustafsson got him with one, you know? It's just evolution of the game, man. You're going to start seeing more and more stuff. And you remember back in the day, a wheel kick never happened, ever. You know what I mean? Let alone twice in the same night. I mean, nobody – Cain Velasquez landed that one on Travis Brown, and that's one of the only ones I'd ever seen, you know what I mean, that was successful like that. So it's going to happen more and more, I think, as the sport evolves. Man, guys are – actually, it's weird. Guys are getting scary good, and at the same time, I was watching those fights the other night thinking, man, I could have beat up three of these guys in the same night back when I was fighting. Like, some of these guys, whoever the guy was that got taken down, not to kick him while he's down, but he got taken down and just turtled up and laid there and wait to get finished. I guess he was a kickboxer. I was thinking, man, why could I not ever fight anyone like that when I was in the UFC? Somebody who doesn't have any idea what to do once it goes to the ground. Like, I didn't think those guys existed anymore.
Well, the other guy was like, I think it was Tom Breeze, the guy that Tom Breeze fought. Yeah, he was like a negative 500 favorite. When Nick survives like that, you're like, okay.
Well, like, what is this, Bellator?
Yeah, something's a little odd here.
Yeah, that Blar guy.
I'll tell you who I kind of felt bad for, because he was a friend of our show. He came on the show. But I don't understand his game planning was Makwan Amirkhani against Barboza.
He did not look good.
It seemed like the only shot he had of winning that fight was wrestling and taking him down, but yet he wanted to get into a kickboxing fight with one of the best kickboxers in MMA, I think. It seems like Barboza is up there. What was he thinking?
It looked like two different weight divisions to me, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Some of these guys, I don't get it, man. And like I said, I wasn't the greatest fighter, man, but I for sure wasn't going to stand up and fight Mark Hunt standing up. You know what I mean? Like, I even said in my pre-fight interview, he better not try to stand up with me. And when Errol Hunt won, he asked me why. I said, because I'm not trying to get beat up in front of my friends and family, you know?
Right.
But some of these guys, I know I fought Christian Moorcraft, who out-wrestled me, was stronger than me. I mean, he fought really good. He fights Matt Mitrione, stands with him the whole time, gets knocked out. Fights Pat Barry, stands with him the whole time, gets knocked out. And I asked him after, I was like, dude, you took me down, slammed me, out-wrestled me. I'm a better wrestler than either one of those guys. And he goes, I just wanted to prove I could stand up with him. And I'm like, okay, well, you proved you couldn't. You know what I mean? So I don't get it.
Some people learn. I'll tell you also, what was funny, like the Tony Kelly fight, who I'm happy Tony Kelly won, because I used to watch him on that MTV show. It was a show called Caged back in the day. It was like it lasted 1 year. The two of the guys, Matt Schnell and this kid Tony Kelly in the UFC, which is cool to see. But he fought this guy, Ali Asquali, and it was one of those fights. What is it?
It looks like it's Al Casey.
Oh, Al Casey, right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Now, it was one of those things where it was a great fight. They were going at it. At the end of the fight, Ali went to hug him, and the guy's like, get the fuck off me, and wanted to keep fighting him. And then another guy's like, all right, fine, let's fight again. Which is, like, always weird to me when guys just, like, go at it for 2 minutes and then at the end embrace, like, they're best friends. And I'm like, how come – I'd expect more times that are not that there would be, like, get the fuck off me. You just punch me in the face for 15 minutes. So it's nice to actually see that happen, even though it was bad sportsmanship technically.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he went to hug him. He went and, like, smacked him on the chest. I guess it was, like, being exuberant – like, great fight, but he basically got in a late shot.
Oh, you know?
And that was what Tony was like, hey, you don't get to fucking hit me again. The fight's over, dumb fuck. That's what it was. It's like, I just beat your ass, and now you're going to take a free one on me and act like, great job. Fuck you. I was with Tony Kelly on that. I thought that was dirty and stupid.
I thought he was just kind of trying to celebrate, like, yeah, we did it, blah, blah, blah. But
we did it. Fuck you. We didn't do shit. I beat you. Fuck you.
But then when it's always funny sometimes when, like, they're like somebody, like, I think it was pretty obvious he lost, although it was kind of close. Like when they raise the guy's hand and the other guy thinks he won when it was like 30-27.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one guy. I'm waiting for the guy who gets knocked out to think he wins. That would be kind of funny. Like, to be like, come on, man. Like, after he gets, like, you might as well go all the way with it. You know, like, just the guy who taps.
But yeah, still, he's like, I'm awake now. I'm awake. I'm right here. I'm awake now.
Like, holy shit. I'll tell you who looked good was Tracy Cortez.
She really bullied that other gal. Great.
And, you know, Tracy came to my show. She's a beautiful girl.
She's pretty.
And is a good, because I was making fun of her, like, when I was on stage. I was like, well, I didn't recognize you without your clothes on. And like, just a whole, you know, I just kept, because she was taking these, like, you know, OnlyFans. I'm not OnlyFans. She was taking these like, pictures that show her butt and this and that. And like, I kept making fun of her during the show, and she was a good sport. She had, like, 13 Mexican family members with her. They were all cool. And, like, her boyfriend, who's, like, a nice guy, too. Good wrestler. But it's crazy that, like, her background is just having – three tough brothers, it seemed like, or two tough brothers that just beat her up. I guess when you're like, because I guess they're both fighters. One of them, rest in peace, died of cancer, which is horrible. He was a fighter, and that really inspires her. But I guess when you're like the little sister and your brothers are all fighters, you're like going to get tough. It seemed like that was her background, was just like little sister strength or little brother strength. It seems like that seems to be a lot of times we talk to fighters, we're like, what's your background? We're like, well, my brother beat the shit out of me my whole life. And now I'm a good fighter.
John Jones, perfect example. Yeah.
Well, he wrestled in high school and you know, in college. But I don't think she even did any kind of wrestling or karate. Like, I guess she started MMA at like 12 or 13, like just MMA lessons. She didn't even.
Adam told me the most surprising thing was that she was Mexican and only had two brothers. I don't know. That's what Adam told me.
There we go. In Bellator, Tim Johnson beat Congo. Bellator, here's what they did. They had it was at 8:30 in the morning was the undercard. Then they had more fights. Then they took a 2-hour intermission and then had the next fights in France. I don't know what, like, I tried to watch it and couldn't watch it. When somebody like, and then like some of the prelims were on YouTube, some were on CBS Sports. I'm paying for DAZN. $20 a month. I'm not even sure why. I mean, I can't. It's not even going to be on the zone, or if it is, I don't even know if it's on. What do they not have $6 for commercials? I mean, can they not just even if it's anybody, a guy telling you, like Dana White makes these like vlogs where he goes, "Here's the deal. We're going to have." They don't have one person to just tell me what time to watch the fights. like, why? What's going on, Greg?
They should just move to a Cam Soda exclusively. Like Fight Circus, you know, just go to like Pornhub or something and just stream your fights.
Cam Soda. It took me a minute. I'm like, where have I heard of Cam Soda? That's one of those free cam sites. Is that what?
Yeah.
So Joe, I want you to pull up. So I guess Israel versus John Jones. The smack talk got really dark because I guess it got into John Jones's dead mother or something, and then. And then Israel said he doesn't feel bad about it because they're from Nigeria and they don't have feelings or something. I want you to get – I'm paraphrasing, but it got into a really weird – like the comedy, we went from I don't know, Yo Mama to Stanhope here. It got really
– Well, do you want me to pull up?
Listen.
Smack talk between –
John, or just post a link in the chat, in the Zoom chat. The chat's disabled.
I don't even have the link.
I just want to find it.
Right. I want you to find it. Well, what were you
saying? Isn't it true that Doug Stanhope's been dying for like 20 years? Somebody told me he'll be like, yeah, I got a hernia for like 18 years straight now or something. I don't know. Like,
when I was on Last Comic Standing, back in the day, I got a MySpace message from Doug Stanhope saying, these cunts. And I'm just like, uh-oh. I never talked to this guy in my life, right? So I open it, and it says, these cunts told me you took my joke. I watched your joke. It's obviously, we have a similar premise. but you didn't take my joke. So if anybody tells you that you took my joke, give them my number and give them my email, and I will defend you. And I was like,
all right.
I was like, sure, man. Like, thank you. And then every night for like 3 months, I got drunk messages from, we became like pen pals. He gave me like how much he hates Nancy Grace. And it just kept going, his thoughts about comics, about politics. And then I was like, hey man, I'd love to one day open up for you. He goes, that will never happen. He goes, that's why we'll be friends.
Hey, at least he was honest with you. Most of us lying or like, hey, yeah, all right, I'll think about it. You know, sure, at some point, I'll try him.
And then he would be like, quit shadow boxing, you homo. Because I was like shadow boxing on the video.
You know what I was watching today, man? I was randomly watching YouTube videos because I've got nothing to do all day. But I was watching when Artie Lang and Andrew Dice Clay got an argument on Howard Stern. Did you guys see that?
No.
Artie Lang had opened for Dice, I guess, or whatever, and only got paid $5,000. And then he was a week late paying him or something. They got fighting. It was one of the funniest things ever, man. I was cracking up because they're just agging it on. Stern's just agging on, trying to get them mad at each other, you know. Then at one point they were going to fight. It was out of control. So they would meet each other and fight in L.A.
Artie Lang was always been like a nicest guy to comedians. Like nothing, you can't say anything bad about that guy. Like he's always been a nice person and taking care of comics. Just a good person.
By the way, I have the trash talk. If you turn on screen sharing, I will show you the trash talk between John Jones and Izzy.
All right, let's see it.
All right, here we go. So I'm not sure. I guess it starts right here. John Jones says, "I'm curious to hear what his father tells him when he asks about fighting me. I wonder if his father believes he's ready. Eugene definitely doesn't." And then Izzy comes back and says, "My pops already told me how I beat you. Trust me, he knows. Your mom would be disappointed in who you've become." And then just continues. It's just, I mean, because it's weird because John Jones is supposed to go to heavyweight, right? And now he's picking a fight with someone who is a weight class below 205.
I don't think he's picking a fight, though.
What's that?
I don't think he's picking the fight.
You think it's Izzy?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So it just goes on.
If I was John Jones, I would have said my mom would be jealous of those titties you got, Izzy. That's what I was
thinking. And then he accused him of running underneath the octagon. I guess, remember when in practice when USADA came and John admits to hiding underneath the cage.
Yeah, he finally admitted to it.
I was on cocaine. Get it straight.
No, he said he smoked a blunt.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
That's what it was.
Are we believing that? Are we believing the blunt story?
But then Izzy, like, photoshopped a bunch of, like pharmaceutical pills, steroids popping out, like, that picture. Of
I was going to say, the blunt was probably true. It just wasn't the only thing that was true. Yeah. It was the most recent thing that was true.
I mean, look, John Jones, you got to give him respect because he has the same game plan in and out of the octagon, hit and run.
Boom.
All right, so here we go.
From Twitter, 2019, Adam Hunter plays his hits.
Hey, that's a great joke. Fuck you. All right.
It is a great joke. It is a great joke. It's just an Adam classic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, so by the way, Chris Weidman wants Israel Adesanya.
To what? To meet him for breakfast? Or? Because it can't be for a fight. I don't think anyone's going to make that fight.
I don't know. If Weidman gets one more win, I could see it over a really good appointment. If he fights Luke Rockhold again, he beats Luke Rockhold, I say maybe do it. Right now, it doesn't look good. But I don't know. I'm definitely going to root for Chris Weidman. I want Chris Weidman to win that fight, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Weidman from 2013 could probably win that. I don't think now, man. I don't see it now. But 2013 Weidman looked unbeatable to me.
Maybe in UFC 4, the video game. But I don't see it. And now Conor McGregor says that Poirier picked him to fight him because he's a southpaw, and he eventually wants him to fight. He eventually wants to fight Manny Pacquiao, who's a southpaw. So he's getting ready for Pacquiao by fighting Poirier. That's a weird theory because he's going to be training a lot more. I mean, if he wants to be ready for Pacquiao, why not just fight it like a southpaw? I mean, in boxing, I guess. Well, I that's just kind of a strange. Do you think there's any truth to that, McCorkle?
No, I think he's just, I don't know what Conor, man. It's from the text he leaked, it looks like he's just unhappy with the way everything is right now. Like, I want to fight in LA. I want it to be a sold out show. I want that. Like, you can't change the world the way it is right now, man. Like, I don't think he wants to fight in an empty stadium. And but I don't think he wants to wait to fight. So it's like you got to choose one or the other. Maybe he's just staying relevant in the meantime. But I hope whatever this is about goes off, I think he'll fight. He'll probably fight four or five times that year whenever the COVID lockdown's off, I would think, man, or if they start having him somewhere with a crowd. But I heard, and I don't know if it's true, I heard he gets a percentage of ticket sales and everything now, not just pay-per-view, you know, merchandise, yeah, everything when they have one of his events when he fights. So I'm sure he wants to wait till there's a, you know, $12 or $15 million gate to get his percentage on it, you know?
So. I bet he does want to fight Pacquiao, though. I can see him wanting to fight Pacquiao.
For what he could make, yeah, for sure. I would box anybody. I'd box Tyson in his prime for $1 million, let alone $100 million, you know?
So, really?
Yeah. For sure. What's he going to do, knock me out? Like, okay.
I was going to say, I'll box him for $100 million. Fuck, I don't – like, yeah, go ahead.
I would fight a pit bull or a Rottweiler for $100 million, literally. Like, just whatever happens, happens.
Now, would Greg Fry fight Tyson?
Greg Tyson would be the last person – I'd be the last person he'd ever see.
Wow. You think you could beat Tyson?
Tyson go down so hard, I would beat him there, but then he would follow me. So, it'd be a classic Rocky-style double knockout. I'd knock him out, but then, of course, my knee would just give out, and I'd collapse.
So tomorrow night on UFC Fight Pass, October 14th. Is that Thursday, October 14th? John
tomorrow.
Gotti.
That is tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, John Gotti III is fighting in CES. He's undefeated.
Now, is this one of those kids from growing up, Gotti?
No, I think it's like
one of their kids.
I think it's like one of their kids. I'm not sure what he is. John, related to John Gotti, obviously.
Yeah, he's actually John. I actually talked to him. I know him a little bit. He is John Gotti Jr.'s son. So, like Gotti Jr., he was going to take over for the famous John Gotti.
Yeah.
The guy that ran the mob for a little bit. It's his third son, I believe. So.
Wow. Mm. So, yeah. Mm. So. He's undefeated. Now I'm not sure if you beat him, what happens to you?
He's got a squad of about 300 guys that show up from New York to his fight, so I definitely wouldn't want to be the other guy.
Yeah, boy.
He's fighting Sammy the Bull IV.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if you do beat him, then basically the only way out of there is to pull a Khabib and just go right out into the crowd and just fight your way out of the building.
What's that movie? It's like a Bronx Tale. It's like now you just can't leave.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh God.
But he's good. I mean, the guy, he's 5-0.
He can fight. He can fight, man. I've said, if you've seen his fights, he can fight. That kid ain't no joke, man.
Yeah,
He'll be in the UFC another year prior to. He'll get a shot. So.
Wow, that's be big for the UFC. I mean, for a lot of reasons.
Where is he fighting tomorrow? What is it like? A state fairground or what?
Yeah. It's called CES.
It's in like Rhode Island, I believe.
Yeah, it's in Rhode Island. And then we'll get into the Bellator.
It's at the Consumer Electronics Expo. Wow. So. Is he fighting virtually, or is he fighting a robot?
Go pick you up a Blu-ray player and see a
he's
fight.
Fighting at he's fighting at the Staten Island Mall. All right, now, we got Kevin Kroom here, by the way. Kevin Kroom, the hard-hitting hillbilly. This kid, he made it to the UFC. He's got a record of 22-12. Now, this guy's got a story and a half. You had $64 in your account before your last fight. You won it in 30 seconds, and you got $50,000. Congratulations, by the way.
Heck yeah. First of all, it was 31 seconds.
Right. 31 seconds. now, did you spend the money yet? Because I heard your sister said you were going to make it rain.
Yeah, technically, I haven't even got the money yet. So it takes a little while to get the bonus money. I've gotten paid for my purse, but I have not got the bonus yet. And yes, I am going to make it rain for sure.
Like on who?
Myself. Fuck everybody else.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Now, you're a guy, man. You took the hard road. You started off your career 0-2. So all you fighters out there that are 0-2, 0-3, you could still make the UFC, okay?
Yeah.
This guy is living proof. Your first two fights did not go well. You got stopped in the first and in the second. What kept you going?
I knew I was good. And I mean, even up until shoot a couple of years ago, man, like I known that I was better than what I was showing, you know, with those first two fights, man, just took the wrong fights. I just didn't know anything. I've always had more balls than brains. Didn't have like good management, nothing. I took a fight versus a kid who was 5-0 for my first pro fight. Like not smart, you know, like, I mean, I just always wanted to be the baddest motherfucker in the room and just wanted to scrap and like whatever. And I didn't care about wins and losses for a while, you know, but here we it paid off.
Sounds like my comedy career.
How much Adderall did you take today, by the way?
Me?
No, I'm kidding. I need
some. I got a house to clean.
Now you also fought Justin Gaethje in his first fight. He body slammed you.
Pretty much. He picked me up and slammed me. I had him in an arm bar, and he KO'd me via arm bar.
But that's pretty badass. I mean,
I took that fight on 3 days' notice, a weight class up. He didn't make weight. Not that it would have changed anything had he made weight. You know what I mean? He still would have been the same outcome. Obviously, like, I had like a bullshit ass flip phone with no Google. There was, you know, I mean, I couldn't look these people up. I'm just taking fights because I like to fight, you know.
I love that, man, dude. You are the hero we need right now. But now I'm glad you learned your lesson though, because you took your last fight on 24-hour fucking notice, and you didn't know who you were fighting when you got on the plane.
Well, I got to the plane and then I found out. But yeah. And it didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like I've waited my whole life for this, so it didn't matter. But I'll never forget just like the look James gave me once I asked him. I was like, "Who am I fighting?" He's just like, "You're fucking crazy, man."
Now you're happy you got the bonus, because at the time you thought you had to build a fence for the week, because you do a construction full time.
Yeah.
And you were gonna make a fence for somebody.
Yeah, I was gonna.
Now, did that person get their fence?
Yeah, I mean, fences are good. Fences are good. I'm not the only guy on the job, thankfully.
Okay, that's good. Now, you also got COVID and didn't know it.
Got COVID, didn't know it. That was a whole roller coaster ride of emotions. I got signed. I woke up at 5:30 a.m. on the day of the anniversary of my 13th year of fighting.
Right.
I had my first fight 13 years ago, and I get a call that I get signed to the UFC. All my dreams have come true. Everything's great. I get on a plane, fly out there. Everything's great. The next morning, I get a call that I popped, and I feel great. Like, I feel amazing. So, I guess COVID just makes you feel spectacular, you know? And
you and Trump.
They tell me I can't fight, and then obviously it's just like I just had the highest high. I just got my dream, and then I got it taken away. It's a whole thing, but I kept a good perspective, and then that allowed me to be able to take full advantage of that opportunity.
So, McCorkle, any questions for the great Kevin Kroom?
Yeah, actually, first I want to say I find it, man. It's a lot of people. It's crazy. Some of the toughest guys I've ever trained with have records that would usually preclude them from fighting in the UFC. Like, they may be 8-12, but like one of my buddies' first fight was against Stefan Bonner, his second one against Diego Sanchez, like end of his career, like they were just getting fed to guys. But I'm just curious if Kevin has seen any of Brendan Schaub's comedy and what he thinks about it, if he has.
That's three.
So I am a huge comedy nerd. I love stand-up. I watch stand-up all day long. All day. Right. That's what I do. And awesome. I've never watched any of his.
Well, even if you had, you still wouldn't have seen any comedy. So it works out.
Got him. Got him. That's four.
The one thing he won't do. Greg Wilson, do you have any questions for the great Kevin Kroom?
No, man. But you know what? I know what it's like to sit there and think that you're on the precipice of having your dream come true and then have it ripped out of your hands. And that is that emotional roller coaster, man. It's hard. Now, for
a few years ago, I would have gone on a bender. You know what I mean? I would have came back.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, did you self-medicate a bit?
No, I didn't.
That's what I would have done.
this is like the first time in my life where I finally got like good coping mechanisms and I'm actually doing really good, which I'm happy.
That's great, man. Because
a few years ago, I would have climbed into a tree.
Yeah.
Wait, that's your bender is climbing trees?
With a bottle of Jack Daniels.
I understood that that's where it wound up.
And then I fall I out. That like that
there's a journey of Jack Daniels and cocaine that leads you up that tree.
Yeah, boy.
And you don't just start there.
Now, you trained in Albuquerque. Were you at Greg Jackson's?
I didn't train in Albuquerque. Yeah, I was at Greg Jackson's for a little bit. Yep.
How did that go?
I mean, it's all right. I guess that's when I fought Justin Gaethje, so not the best.
So how did you end up from Jackson's over to Missouri?
So I grew up in Columbia, Missouri, which is a couple hours away. I've known James since my amateur career. I'm pretty sure he cornered against me in my first professional loss.
Wow.
Fucker. You know, I've known them forever and it just kind of worked out coming back.
Are you with James Krause then?
Yeah.
Krause is awesome, man. I was on a military or a trip for the troops with him, man. And, he was ready to kill me by the time we left. He couldn't take me anymore because, I had some officers, a guy guarding a submarine, believing that Cummings, that he was trying to smuggle cocks onto the submarine in his ass. I said, he's probably got 4 or 5 in it right now. Like, I just kept
harassing him. By the end of the trip,
Krause was using my name as an all-purpose curse word. He was like, man, I feel like I got McCorkled last night. So it was pretty awesome. But, yeah, I love James. He's a great dude, man.
Did you ever go to Deja Vu, the club Deja Vu?
Yeah, I have. I saw Hannibal Buress there.
Yeah, I used to do comedy there.
Hell yeah. I've probably seen you.
I was on tour with Theo there. That was crazy. I think they had like some of the hottest chicks I've ever seen because all the girls from Mizzou went there. There was Stevens Point. And then I used to get BJs before the shows in the green room. And then
I thought you said you never performed with Shop.
I did. Then I go, then from the stage, I go, Greg, it was a nightclub afterwards, right?
Yeah, I go,
if you like my show, don't buy anything. Just if you're a girl and you're hot, just grab my balls. And the whole night, girls just grab my balls. It was like the fucking.
I've seen the craziest things go down on the downstairs dance floor after a comedy show. Like, we're talking people in their 60s just like getting loose on the floor.
Yeah, that was me. It was crazy. Those were some good nights, man.
Hyenas in Fort Worth used to be that way. It was my favorite because not only would they turn into a dance club, they also would have karaoke in the front lounge. And I was like, this has got all my favorites.
So Kevin, man, I mean, I'm so happy for you because you're a guy that you were kind of a journeyman guy and you were streaky. You know, you won 8, at one point you had 4-7 in 11 fights, but then you won 7 in a row. You fought, what's his name? Felony, Charles Bennett.
Crazy horse. Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, man, that dude was a fucking nut. And, like, obviously I've been a fan of, like, his craziness since before I started fighting. So, like, he was one of the first people I heard about. So it took me, like, a few days to kind of, like, separate myself from being a fan of his to fighting him, you know? Yeah. And then just the whole time, he was him. I couldn't have asked for a better thing. Like, during the weigh-ins, he, like, got all close to me. It was just being weird. He was talking to me during the fight. He basically coached me through beating him. Everything that James would say, he would, like, repeat it. Yeah, do this. It was nuts. And then at one point, he told me what he was about to do. And then because he told me, I stopped him from doing it. He was like, I'm going to roll you. And then so I was like, oh, well, thanks. And then he didn't roll me because he told me he was going to roll me. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I stopped it, you know.
That's not great fight strategy.
It was wild. And then
I feel like that's low fight IQ. That's what that feels like.
Afterwards, I, like, thanked him. I was like, man, I, like, really respect you. You know, I'm a huge fan. He's like, oh, man, fuck that shit. And just walks out of the ring.
Thank you for telling me what you were going to do.
With him on Facebook, you don't know what you're missing, man. That dude, he puts Charles puts some funny, like he'll have some black people doing something. He'll post a video and he'll put like white people shake my head as if he's blaming white people for it. It's the funniest thing ever, man. That dude is always, he's always got something going on trolling people. He's funny.
This motherfucker came out. He took like 30 minutes to walk out, and this motherfucker took his clothes off and folded his clothes at the cage side. Like I'm talking like creased up. Like the motherfucker brought an iron and fucking made sure everything was good. It was ridiculous. I've never just like ripped my clothes off. I'm ready to get in the ring. This motherfucker like three piece folded it up, made sure the creases were good. It was wild, man. Guy is nuts.
Crazy horse.
Oh, someone grew up in a group home.
Somebody needs to.
He's like, oh, I'm not. You're not stealing my shit while I'm here. I'm wearing all of it to the ring. I'm folding it. I'm keeping an eye on it, and I'm putting it back on.
If I had like unlimited money, I would hire a documentary team and just follow him around during the day.
Dude,
like that would just be like the best show ever. Imagine like watching Crazy Horse all week.
I mean, you'd have to pay somebody to decipher it all for sure.
Yeah.
You can't understand that guy. He's nuts, dude. Oh my god, the best part, he's at weigh-ins, and like I swear to god, he has like three pairs of shorts on. He's got like the boxers, like the basketball shorts, and then the shorts over the basketball shorts, and then he's got on flip-flops and like knee-high socks. Okay, so he steps on the scale and he's like a pound and a half over, and the guy's like, okay, you're a pound and a half over. He stays on the scale and he goes, I, what if I take my socks off? You got four shorts on. You got four pairs of shorts on. You're going to take the socks off? Like, dude's a fucking nut, man.
I,
what if I take my socks off?
Dude, he's Crazy Horse.
All right,
I want to have him back on the podcast. The last time we had him on, he said some of the craziest, like, things that I can't endorse what he was saying. Like how
I'm sure.
I don't even want to give it a platform. Like
I can only imagine.
Like homosexuals should die. Like stuff like that where I'm just like, I can't. I can't have this on my show. You know, I don't want to give this guy a voice based on that, you know? And then, cause then people get mad at me. They're like, well, you should have been harder. I'm like, the guy's name is Felony. I mean, he literally he changed his name from Crazy Horse to Felony. I mean,
he thought that guy, was
you want me to fucking confront about like, yeah. Like, come on.
Adam's like, you don't want to talk about homophobic stuff, man. He's like, all right, what if I take off my socks though?
And people got mad.
That's the best thing.
I mean, I literally said I don't endorse any of this, right? Like I said that, but that wasn't enough, you know.
But, right. They're like, yeah, but you're still letting him talk, and like, yeah, somehow you become responsible for what he's saying.
I didn't give him a script. Like, yeah. I didn't fucking tell him, hey, I want you to talk about how you want homosexuals to die at 32 minutes. Like he would even say that. The guy's name is Felony, and you already fucking confront him. Like come on.
I'm good.
So Kevin, who do you want to fight next?
Whoever, man. Like, honestly, I don't care. I'd like to get that Alex Caceres fight. That's who I was slated to fight. Then the whole COVID thing went down. But honestly, I'd like to get a couple more fights in before that. He's getting paid good money. I'd like to make a little bit more money before that fight. But that's a fight I am pushing for, man. That's a fight for the fans, for sure. And at this point, whatever, man. I'll take anybody. Let me get these young kids off the Contender Series who you know, don't know much. I'll show them what a veteran's about, you know?
All right. I love it. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. Where can people follow you?
Hell yeah, man. Kevin Kroom _UFC on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook, Kevin Kroom. Yeah, hit me up.
I love your attitude. Right on. Thank you for coming, bro.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. A huge fan. Let's go. Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Take care.
All right. Right on.
I like that guy. Man.
I wish I had that guy's energy.
Talk about it's almost like impossible not to like that human being. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that, how do you not root for a guy who's 22-12, who finally made it to the big show and won in 30 seconds? Like, that's just a guy, like, that's the underdog story of the year right there, man.
Well, that's legitimately the definition of being hungry.
Yeah. 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 And also the American dream, man. Like, nothing was candid to that kid.
Yeah.
The kid did it all himself. Like, you know, he wasn't born into a fucking – he wasn't born – no offense to the Gracie. He wasn't born a Gracie. He didn't have his dad as – wasn't his wrestling coach. He fucking did it all himself, man. And he – good for him. Good for him.
I'll tell you who it reminds me a little bit of, man, his personality is Cody McKenzie. I don't know if you ever talked to Cody, but they're very similar, man. Like, just kind of out there. You know what I mean? But happy, just happy to be there. Like, Cody's like, I just like to fight, man. Like, I'm like, all right.
Dude, yeah, he's so wide-eyed. It's just like, whoo, this kid is sober.
Dude, by the way, so Don Fry is just joining us now. I told him.
There 12, he is.
I told him 12:15. So, Jake Ellenberger has a funny story about Cody McKenzie asking to come train with him in Vegas, and he didn't belong to a gym because he didn't want to pay gym memberships. This is when he was, already in the UFC, right?
Right.
So they just take boxing gloves and go in the front yard and spar of his house. But now, like, the neighbors are like, what the fuck is people? Are, they're like, they're hard sparring in the front yard, and in this like suburban neighborhood.
Those people got a show for free.
Yeah, yeah. So Don Fry.
Not that, but I mean, really, they were ahead of the whole COVID thing. I mean, that's just being, they're just doomsday prepping at that point.
For sure.
Don Fry, 12:15. What happened?
Oh, hell, I don't know. Shit. I bet my, apparently my phone doesn't know how to keep time.
Okay.
Damn Chinese machines.
So, Don, what did, Don, by the way, what did you think, did you watch the fights last week?
No, I did not. Couldn't get there.
Well, get to the board. Don't worry about it. Congo lost. But it was a pretty close fight. Your boy Congo lost. And then it was a Ben Rothwell lost. He was winning, but he just gassed. Rothwell just gassed.
You know, I accidentally got some drama started between Tim Sylvia and Ben Rothwell. I said something on there about Rothwell throwing 200 punches or 200 strikes the first round. And Sylvia said something back. And I said, yeah, our boy's looking good. And Sylvia's like, he's not my boy. And then Ben Rothwell's like, dude, what's your problem? Like, what's your problem with me? And they start going back and forth. I thought they were friends. Like, they introduced me to each other. So I don't know.
Wow.
Well, it got weird on my Twitter.
Yeah, well, Tim Sylvia seems a little bit like you never really know where you're at with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, by the way, so Corey Sandhagen won by a spinning wheel kick against Marlon Moraes. Don, you ever throw a spinning wheel kick?
All the time. Yeah, all the time. Who do you think invented it, man? Shit.
I knew it was either him or Steve Smalley. Yeah. One of the two.
Now, Don, I was talking to Sean about...
Yeah, I learned in ballet.
I was talking to Sean about... Sometimes
I learned in ballet class.
In ballet class. But Don, it seems like it's hard to defend the spinning wheel kick because... Guys aren't training it and sparring because Sean said if you do that you're a dick if you're throwing stuff like that. So then when it happens in the fights, people aren't prepared for it.
Right, right. I mean, something comes out of left field, obviously.
So what do you do to prepare for that?
It's like you telling a funny joke. You know, you're just not prepared for it.
What's up, people? The wait is finally over. Football is back. Look, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. I start off by wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. But did you watch that one kick where the guy caught the guy's leg and the guy did like a... Yeah. I mean, what did you think of that?
Beautiful. I thought that was beautiful, man. That's a... distant second to a Don Fry highlight, you know, but that's right there.
That's still high praise. That's still high praise.
Do you guys want to go through some of Don Fry? Do you want to split screens with Don Fry's fights right now with Don Fry? Do you guys want to do that or no?
Sure. Yeah, bring them up.
Right. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm down.
Okay, so Joe, look up how good was Don Fry on YouTube.
Oh, the actual full video.
Yeah, yeah, and I play it. Let's have Don walk us through what he was thinking. Let's this have Don walk through what he was thinking during these fights.
Don's gonna, he's going to tell you like he told me. I was so high right there, I don't have any idea what I was thinking. I was like, oh, okay.
We have two guys wearing Trump hats, by the way, during this
thing. I'm wearing a Fight Island hat. It looks like a Trump hat, but it's a All Fight
right.
Island
this
hat.
This is Don right here. Don.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this man right here. I mean, you versus Takeyama. You. Look at that guy right there.
Damn.
I mean, you're just a man. Now, you didn't even lift weights, did you? Don.
A little bit. Not a lot at that time. No, I did lift weights at that time. Yeah, I was in – I had already fought, like I said, you know, handful of fights.
This is the first guy you're fighting. You know, now you knocked this guy out in 8 seconds.
No, it's a first.
Was that DJ Khaled he just beat up?
First UFC, but I
this is against Melvin Manhoef, who took you down, and then he tapped out the strikes, right? The first time.
That's Gary Goodrich, you racist.
Yeah, right. Gary Goodrich, right. I racist. Fuck. Yeah, right. Gary Goodrich. Sorry about that. Yeah, I was stupid. All right, so here you are. All right. Are they all this fast? This is the intro, right, Joe?
This is like this is the video. I don't know. I think this is how the whole video is.
It doesn't go slower?
No.
Your Apollo Creed shorts. Those are great.
Okay. All right.
Your Rocky shorts.
How ironic was it? Don was fighting somebody in American flag shorts. That's weird.
Now, Don, you didn't even wear a cup, right? That was just your natural package? That fucking...
Baby, no.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Coleman was the first guy you lost to. Coleman was the first guy that you said you didn't take him that seriously. How come you took everyone else seriously but not Mark Coleman?
No, I didn't take at that point, you know, I'd gotten real cocky. You know, I won 8 and then 9. And 9 was just a single fight format, you know, which they never brought back because it cost them a ton of money. And so then I eased off. I thought, hey, I'm Don Fryer. You start reading your own press clippings, you know.
Yeah.
You start walking on water. So, you don't train as.
Now, Joe, pause it for a second. Now, how hurt were you against Tank Abbott?
I wasn't hurt. But he was knocking me silly, boy, I'll tell you that. That boy could hit hard. I was impressed.
What did he say to you before the fight?
Oh, fuck. I don't think he said anything to me before the fight or after the fight. I don't think so.
Keep going, Joe. Right. Now, when Ken Shamrock ripped your foot off and you didn't tap, right, after that, how look at this guy right there. Now, how fucked up was your foot?
Oh, shit. You know, me, the ex and I, we usually flew from Tokyo to L.A., you know, at home. But we went to Hawaii. My ankles were swollen up about the size of my knees. So, you know, I looked like I had Hillary Clinton legs.
Yeah, this is you versus Ken. Now you wore wrestling shoes for that fight. Do you regret wearing wrestling shoes?
No, I don't. I don't. To me, it seemed like there's a little bit more play in your shoes, you know, as to being barefoot. But excuse me, hell, I don't know. You know, I mean, Ken. We'd be able to get that heel hook on, you know, shit, if you greased it up like a pig.
Yeah.
He knows, you know, he knows what the hell he's doing.
And then you still
Don, how mad were you when Gilbert Iable tried to take both of your eyes out, like, with his thumbs? Was that, you're pretty pissed off, I guess, when that happened? That was as dirty as a thing I've ever seen in a fight. Yeah. That was the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
You know, oh, his hands just slipped, man. He wasn't trying to do it on purpose. That's what women's quarterman. Quarterman tried telling us that.
Now, how happy were you? How happy were you when you and Takayama tried to throw you at the end? That must have been a relief, right?
Oh, man, I was like, yeah, I tell you. That was such a hard-ass fucking night, you know, and when he did that and I was able to move my hips, you know, get on top, I was so damn happy. I'm like, oh, my God, this will be over, I hope, you know. I hit that guy with everything I had. Plus more, you know, and then he kept going. I was like, shit.
How much money did you get for that fight?
What, the Takayama?
Yeah.
Just a normal fight. And they didn't even give us a fucking bonus, you know, for that fight. And, you know, Takayama, they should do that. They should, that fucking sucker, Kabara, whatever, you know, should fucking give him a check, you know. He should give Takayama a check because he needs the money right now, obviously, you know, and shit. Give it to his wife. Fuck. I mean, that fight made them a lot of money, and we didn't get a fucking penny for it, you know, outside of her average pay.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Wow.
The fucking Goodrich. This is the third Goodrich fight. Holy shit, he kicked you hard. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was doped up for that fucking fight.
Wait, how doped up were you for that fight?
Oh, my back was really so
this guy,
bad.
Hold on, pause, Joe. You know? Pause, Joe. Like, okay, you're fighting this guy. At what point are you just like, how the fuck did I get here? This is like that, like, you know, like those movies, and you're like at the beginning, and like, you're probably wondering how I got here, right? What show is that?
That was the day before. That statement came the day before at the press conference.
I mean, you're looking at this guy, what was this, Akebono, right?
Akebono, yeah.
I mean, what was your game plan for this fight?
Game plan was wait for him to step, you know, kick his feet and go around him, you know, and then come in behind. And the thing is, you know, you kick and kick. There's no one step around him. It's like a little short sprint around that guy. You know?
Yeah, it's like you're fighting the entire island of Hawaii.
Greg Fry, what's your what were you thinking when you fought Akebono?
Oh, first thing I was thinking was, God damn, I bet this guy knows where to get the best ice cream in town. That's what I was thinking. And then I was thinking, if hey, we get caught out in the cold, I'm going to cut him open and sleep inside him.
Like a tauntaun.
Like a tauntaun. You that guy like a goddamn tauntaun puff tent. That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, look
big
at
old motherfucker.
I mean, this is, did you, I mean, if I was you, I'd be thinking, how many wrong turns did I make to get to this point in my life? Like, holy fuck. And you beat him. You fucking beat this guy. Press play, Joe. I mean, holy shit.
I mean, but at that time, that's where the sport was, you know?
Well,
it was
not
made
really
up of circus fights like this.
Yeah, but this, I mean, and this guy was a really good sumo wrestler, right? Wasn't he like the champ?
Yeah. He was Yokozuna, you know, and they only had like 67 of them in the 10,000-year history of sumo, you know?
Wow. That's crazy. Then you beat this guy. Who's this guy you fought?
Oh, I love it. Throw him out of the ring.
And that guy would shove me.
Wait, who's this guy that you're throwing out of the ring?
Where?
There's a guy right here.
Asian guy?
Oh, my God.
His name.
He was trying to make out with you.
But
yeah,
fuck, some idiot heard that shit, and then everybody wanted to start pressing their head against mine, you know, at the face-off shit. Angry the hell out of me.
That is intense right there.
Greg Fry, what were you thinking here?
I was thinking, goddamn, he's got a soft skin. That fucking, I can't wait to rip it off his fucking body and deep fry it and serve it up like pork rind.
He's trying to absorb that mustache power.
Wait, is that what happened? He was trying to take your mustache power? That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Don, you've never kissed a guy before, right?
No.
No. I mean, not even your dad, right? Your
never.
Dad never gave you a kiss?
My dad and I would shake hands, you know?
Even as a baby?
That's it, man. That's how I learned.
That's the toughest motherfucker ever. His dad would shake hands with him. You came out of the womb, your dad shook your hand?
Well, first he slammed me upside the head, you know, I was 2 weeks late, and he didn't appreciate it, you know. So.
And then here's Josh Thompson. He tried to kiss you, too. Not Josh Thompson. What's his name? All right, Ween, we're good.
It's like we're looking at old World War II footage.
All right, holy shit, Don. You've been through some wars, man. Fuck. I mean, nothing but respect for you, man. MMA would not be where it is, but it's not for guys like you. If not for you.
I had to run good luck. You know, I did. I had to run good luck. And then at one point, my luck turned bad. And shit. But now, the other night, Quinn and I went out for dinner and lost my wheelchair somewhere. It fell out of the back of my truck. So now I'm forced to walk. I can't be lazy and use the wheelchair.
Your wheelchair fell off your truck?
Yeah, it fell out on the way home.
Somewhere there's someone else who has a very different story of that.
His wheelchair came crashing through my windshield.
Exactly. What happened? I was just driving in this wheelchair.
Don's wheelchair put someone in a wheelchair. Like,
exactly. Oh, man.
Ugh. I'm not sure I really understand what happened here, but all right. So this Thursday night in Bellator, Chris Cyborg is fighting Arlene Blancal, who's 13-7. I don't know. I don't think this fight's going to be very competitive. I hate to say it. I don't really know Arlene. I don't know much about Arlene. She's from Australia. She beat Leslie Smith in her last fight, beat Amanda Bell, beat Andrew Lambert. Okay, she had a 3-fight winning streak, but lost to Julia Budd by split decision twice. And lost to Marlies Konnen back in the day. But Cyborg's a different beast. I mean, even though she's a little older than she was, I still don't see anyone except for Amanda Nunes beating her. Don Fry?
I'll go with Cyborg. I think she's, you know, hell of an athlete, great fighter. She's still going to dominate the sport for a couple more years. You know, she's just tougher than nails.
Yeah. Greg, Weendog, McCorkle.
Has Cyborg, she's fought in the UFC, hasn't she?
She's in Bellator now.
Yeah, when did she wind up in Bellator? When did that happen?
She left about like 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
They released her.
Yeah.
That's weird, man.
I wonder if Cyborg even knows she's fighting this Thursday. Like, I don't know. Don't find out until the day of. Wait, can I fight tonight? What's going on?
I got a message on Twitter from Chris Cyborg, whoever's running her Twitter account, telling me to watch her fight this Thursday.
I hadn't even heard of it, dude. What, 2 days? I didn't know she was fighting. No idea.
Yeah. Also, Patricia.
What AM radio station is going to be broadcasting this?
Also, Patricky Pitbull is fighting Jarrell. Right. He's on the card too. Ricky Bandejas, who's the guy that knocked out the other guy from Ireland. What's his name? The guy that like is pretty good.
James Gallagher.
Yeah, he beat James Gallagher, but he's lost 3 of his last 4. He's
I was going to say, Gallagher's nothing, dude. Yeah.
Oh, he's good. He lost to one guy, the Bandejas. He's not Conor McGregor, but
no, he's not. He goes walking around like he's Conor McGregor, then gets knocked the fuck out. So
he's fighting Leandro Higo. Should be a good fight. My man Saad Awad, who's also really good at fighting on this card. Also Kyle Kuchmer, who I think is like a national champion. He's buried. He's 6-0. He's a guy, Oklahoma State wrestler, really good. He's on this card. That guy, Tall Steve, that we had on the podcast. He's on the 7-0. And so there's a bunch of good – and this guy, Mike Kimble, is the best 3-2 fighter you'll ever see.
Well, dude, look at this. Curtis Millender is fighting Joe Schilling. That's crazy, dude.
No, that got scrapped.
Really?
Yeah, the commission wouldn't allow it, but they didn't say why.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Looks like it's actually going to be a pretty good card. Again, how would anyone see this? Where is this going to be?
It's going to be on CBS Sports Network.
Oh, okay. Well, at least I've got that one.
But – the big one actually this Saturday, Ortega versus the Korean Zombie.
Dude.
That's this Saturday. That's going to be a good fight. They hate each other. I know that Ortega, the Korean Zombie, his buddy is a Korean rapper who got into a fight with Ortega. Not Psy, a different Korean rapper.
His name is Jay Park.
Jay Park.
Yeah.
They had some beef. It's going to be a good fight. Korean Zombie is one of these guys that hits a lot harder than you think he does. But Ortega, will he come back from the beating he took from
Max Holloway?
Max Holloway.
And that was 2 years ago, too. That was in 2018.
2 years. I think he did it at Halle Berry for that, too, which that could take anyone's time away from the sport. Now,
yeah,
Don Fry, who wins, the Korean Zombie or Brian Ortega?
Oh, fuck. I'm going with Brian Ortega. Did you say he was dating Halle Berry?
I think he was. Word on the street, he was for a second. Yeah. Halle Berry made a movie about MMA, so she got really into her role. She was going to fights and training and yada, yada. And I heard she was dating Ortega. I can't confirm it, but that's what I heard. So.
How do you get to be that lucky? What?
Yeah. Well, come on.
You know what that is. That's lucky right there.
Come on. You've hooked up some hot women in your life. No?
Nothing like Halle Berry. Nothing like Halle Berry, boy.
What about more like Chuck Berry? McCorkle, who is this guy?
There you go.
Korean Zombie or Ortega?
I think Ortega, man, and I think he's going to dominate it. He's like almost a 2-1 betting underdog, which is shocking to me. Ortega's looked amazing in every fight except against Max Holloway. And he got beat up in that fight, but he showed heart unlike anybody I've ever seen, man. Other than Don Fry, obviously. But he took a beating, man, stayed in there. So I think Ortega's underrated right now just because of that loss. But I think he'll win, and I think he'll finish him.
Don, in any of your fights, did you ever tap out?
Yeah, I did.
What fight? Against who?
Yeah, well, we don't want to talk about it.
I can't picture you. I mean,
McCorkle.
Against Joe McCorkle? Got it. what about you, McCorkle? You ever tap?
Man, I didn't up until I fought. When I fought in Japan, I got poked in the eye by a Satoshi Ishii unintentionally, really, really bad. And he was breaking my arm. He was a judo, 2-time judo gold medalist, and I couldn't see and felt my arm breaking at the same time. And if I wasn't in Japan, I probably would have still tried to get out of it. But I was like, man, they had already stiffed me on my pay, shorted me 10 grand before the fight. They said, oh, no, we'll send the rest later. I was like, no, I was supposed to get paid 30 grand. I took this fight on literally 30 hours notice. I was 30 hours from when they contacted me. I was in the ring fighting in Japan, you know. So I went straight to the airport, got on the plane, went over, supposed to pay me 30 grand, and they give me 20. And I'm like, no, it was 30. And then also they don't speak English. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, it was 30. And they said, later. So They already weren't paying me. They told me before the fight, if I got hurt, they weren't paying the medical bill. They told me they're not paying the medical bill. If you get hurt, you had to sign something, a waiver. And I'm like, so if I get hurt, I'm on my own. So they already shorted me 10. He poked me in the eye. I couldn't see. I felt my arm break. And I was like, I don't need to lose an eye and have my arm broken in a fight. So I tapped. That was the time it killed me. Man, I felt like it was so dumb because I guess I wasn't high enough. No, I should have. I definitely should have tapped there, but I just couldn't. It was the first time. I can't even tap in practice without feeling terrible, let alone you know, like in a fight, but I just felt like the biggest quitter that ever lived, even though there was no way out. So
what's crazy is that Ichi was a 2-time gold medalist in judo, and you took him on 30 hours notice. So you had to train it all for
against. No, I hadn't trained for over a year at that point. But Monty Cox, my agent, called me, said they'll pay $30,000, and I was actually my girlfriend was in Seattle at the time. I was out in Seattle. I live in Indianapolis. I was in Seattle. I had just gotten out there to see her, and they called me, and I was like, "Do you want to go to Japan? Have you got a passport?" She was like, "Yes, yeah, so we go to Japan. I can make $30,000, but I got to fight in 30 hours." And she was all for it. So we got on a plane and went, and then I got there, and they shorted me $10,000. Never did pay me my money. Shorted me $10,000 on it, and then I thought I lost my. I still have to this day have double vision out of my left eye. If I look up, I get double vision from getting poked in the eye. They wouldn't pay for anything. They wouldn't. After I got poked, I told them I need to go to the hospital. Someone with my eye, and they kept saying, "You go, you pay." And I was like, "No, you guys got to pay for it." They kept saying no, and then they had a guy come look. I swear, a guy come look. He leans over, looks at my eye. Supposed to be the doctor. He goes, "Ah, it's okay." Like that was his diagnosis. He, no flashlight, no finger test, no nothing. And then Bob sat, poured me a handful of pain pills and like out of a bottle. And then I ended up at the guy, you know, the guy who fought Muhammad Ali in the first mixed martial arts bout, the wrestler.
Inoue or something?
Inoki. It was his fighting federation. Yeah, so, I took 5 Percocet and then they wanted me to start doing sake shots or whatever they drink over there. Before I know it, I stumbled to the stage of Inoki's birthday party and gave some kind of toast or speech in English. They all spoke Japanese. Everyone was just staring at me. Like, and I was like, and I'll tell you, this guy was my hero, like this and that, like saying all this other stuff. And I stumbled and fell down, like going off the stage, like fell to the ground or whatever. It was bad news, man.
Greg Sapp, why did you give him the pain pills?
Well, I mean, come on. it's just party time now. I mean, you know, if you're going to have double vision in one eye, you might as well have it in both. That's the way Bob Sapp does it. Come on now.
Now, Greg Sapp.
It sounded like Andy Griffith.
Greg Sapp, were you surprised he tapped?
Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. But, hey, that's just the way it goes over there. It's a cheaper tap. You can tap twice over there for the same price as tapping over here.
That sounds like somebody. I can't remember who, but it's not Bob Sapp. It sounds just like somebody, though.
That gay barber Floyd from Andy Griffith.
All right.
Also, oh, man.
Also on this card this Saturday, Jessica Andrade. Who's a beast is fighting Caitlin Chookagan. I love Caitlin.
This is the best fight on this card.
Well, this girl Andrade is a monster. I love Caitlin. She always grunts when she throws a punch. She goes, I guess it's a karate thing, but I think it affects the judges because she wins all the close ones. Bob, did you ever grunt before you threw a punch?
Oh,
on the toilet.
Don, you did it on the toilet?
Yeah, on the toilet, yeah. Always grunt.
Also, on this card, Thomas Almeida is a guy we haven't heard in a while. It's fighting Jonathan Martinez. And then a lot of guys I have never heard of. Honestly, like most of them I haven't. James Krause is fighting Claudio Silva. Love Krause. And then Jillian Robertson's fighting Paulina Botello. And I'm just looking through this card. I mean, do you recognize these names, Joe?
A few of them. I think it's actually going to be a good card, dude. I love the main event. And a couple fights that stand out is definitely Jessica Andrade, Caitlin Chookagian. I think Andrade gets it done in that fight. Jillian Robertson, she's pretty hot. I like her.
Yeah. But wait a minute, isn't Andrade lost like her last 2 fights or 2 out of 3?
She's lost her last 2 fights to Rose Namajunas.
Like Rose Namajunas and
Weili Zhang.
And Weili Zhang to the champ and to Rose. She's.
I'm just saying, I mean, I like Chookagian because I think she's on a win. She's won her last couple of fights. And Andrade seems to be on a losing streak. I don't know. I like Chookagian this way.
The big step up, though. But she doesn't get hurt that much, Caitlin. She never really gets hurt. But the next week, that's Khabib versus Gaethje.
That's the big one.
That's the big one.
That's the one. I feel like they threw up all these other names almost to make the next one even bigger. You know? Like, yeah, right? You didn't know that, but this week, oh, you want to pay $69 for this.
By the way, Phil Baroni called out Chimaev on Twitter.
Who did?
Phil Baroni.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
I'm not really sure if that's going to happen. I support it, though. And then in bare knuckle boxing over the weekend, Joey Beltran got the win, as well as Dave the Caveman Rickles.
Nice.
You know, I would just like to point out that if you didn't say that on this podcast, no one would know. You are single-handedly keeping bare knuckle alive.
A lot of people like the Mexicutioner one. Fucking Joey Beltran. The Mexicutioner one.
The nickname.
As well as Dave the Caveman Rickles. You know who Dave the Caveman Rickles is.
I love Rickles. Listen, I love Rickles. I'm glad he found somewhere to go.
So who
I'm trying to figure out whose money they're wasting this bare, not wasting, but whose money they're blowing on this bare knuckle, man. Because I heard what they're paying some of these guys is insane, man. Like, I mean, I got an offer through someone else. They said they would give me $100,000 if I went to bare knuckle box somebody or whatever, like 100 and up. And I was like, man, I don't believe that number. But if they're offering me $100,000, I can only imagine what they're offering guys that are actually famous and can fight.
Like, well, Paige Van Zandt got like $1 million or something, or a couple million.
That's what I'm saying. Whose money are they spending, man? They got to be getting it from somebody. I don't know.
Don, are you thinking about going to bare knuckle boxing?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm getting sized up for a skirt right now.
Wait, why are you wearing a skirt?
I think he wants to fight Paige Van Zandt. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm going to fight Paige Van Zandt. I want to look as good as her.
All right. By the way,
you do, buddy. You do.
By the way, how did it go the weekend? You were taking off your shoes with the horses or something? Wasn't he taking the shoes off the horses last week?
Yeah, changing the horseshoes.
How did that go?
My daughter didn't come down. What, you know what did happen is I got invited to go beat Robert O'Neill. You know, there's four restaurants here called Trident Restaurant, and they're former Navy SEALs own these restaurants. And so they had Robert O'Neill come in for a book signing, you know, and like a meet and greet. And I got invited down to it. And he's the guy who kept Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
So it was fucking neat to meet that guy, some other SEALs and some Marines. Man, they treated me like I was somebody. They were so cool. You know,
the SEALs were just excited to meet someone more manly than they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. They wanted to smell your dick.
Wait, what?
That took a weird turn. Greg, are we picking Gaethje or Khabib?
Oh, Khabib, all day.
Yeah, I'm with you. Don Fry.
I'll go with the Russian. I think he's just rolling hot. He's so fucking hot. It's incredible.
Ween Dog?
I think Khabib defeats Justin Gaethje, and I think he finishes his career off by fighting GSP. And sails off into the sunset.
Do you really think GSP is going to show? I mean, is that a real thing?
He said he might.
It's in the cards.
I think GSP should stay out of the cards.
John?
I'm going to actually, believe it or not, Khabib is my favorite fighter, and I think Gaethje's going to beat him, man. I think Khabib's a better wrestler than him, but I don't think he's good enough to keep him down, like hold him down, keep him down. And I think standing up, they're going to trade. And I just have a feeling I'll probably lose a bunch of money off, but I have a feeling Gaethje's going to knock him out, man. It's I don't know why, other than just a feeling. I think Khabib's a better fighter, but Gaethje gets Ferguson looked unbeatable, man. So if he can take him down, he'll beat him up standing up. So,
well, and that's what it's about. I mean, that's the thing. Can he stay on his feet? I mean, Khabib is – it's not what he's known to let guys do, you know, especially guys who are incredible. But I'm with you. Listen, if anybody's going to knock Khabib out ever, it's going to be Gaethje, and it's going to be in this fight. I mean, that guy has the heaviest hands I've ever seen in MMA. And, I mean, impressed the fuck out – the way he beat the shit out of Tony Ferguson was unbelievable. But I don't think I don't think Khabib lets him do that.
He's such a good – I mean, Khabib's on another level wrestling-wise, but I think Gaethje might be a good enough wrestler to keep from being kept down, man. Like
a big factor also is AKA open right now, and who's Khabib training with? Is he still in Russia? Like that's another thing. I mean,
yeah, we don't know. Nobody's seen him in what, a year? So
that's a big factor. Also, the Vanilla Gorilla, Jared Cannonier, is taking on Robert Whittaker. That's a good fight. I think Whittaker wins, but the Vanilla Gorilla is really good.
It's the killer gorilla.
Oh, it's
I was gonna say gorilla? I don't think he's the Vanilla Gorilla. Oh, yeah. I think he's very much not.
Oh,
I thought I was trying to figure out why he was vanilla.
I thought maybe he was being ironic, or he just liked white chicks. All right. So also, Wald Harris is taking on Alexander Volkov. I want Wald Harris to win so bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he wins this. Guys, chime in if you want.
I mean, it was sad watching him lose his last fight, you know, given the circumstances that he's under. So I'm really pulling for him. And we saw Alexander Volkov get knocked out by the Black Beast. So, you know, who knows?
You sure it's not the Vanilla Beast? Okay.
Also, Cynthia Cavillo, who we've had on the podcast. She's awesome.
Yep.
She's a girl, Don Fry. Her boyfriend cheated on her. She went to the gym to lose weight. And now she's ranked like third in the world.
Number two, they got her here.
Mexicans are just tougher people. She's fighting Lauren Murphy, a girl who was a heroin addict back till she was like 20 something. Her father passed away he was a pilot. She went crazy. She quit. She lost custody of her kid. Took her daughter to a jiu-jitsu class. Finally, then she started getting into it, and now she's ranked like three in the world. Another and off drugs and just awesome. Both of these girls have amazing stories. This could be a good fight. Both friends of the show. Greg, who do we like in this fight?
Cavillo in this one, just because, you know, I don't know. It could go either way, to be perfectly honest. But I like Cavillo in this one, just because she's prettier.
I'm with Greg on that one because I've never heard of the other girl. So.
All right. Also,
Lauren Murphy's tough as nails, but she you can see, you know, it's the mileage. You can see the mileage.
Oh, whatever. Who cares?
She beat Roxanne. She beat Andrea Lee. She beat some significant people.
She's really good.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying just, you know, I told you it's purely based on
I don't agree with that. All right, so Magomedov Ankalaev, she's beautiful, by the way, against Ian Kudalaba. What happened to Kudalaba? Wasn't he like the next big thing for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, he dresses up as the Incredible Hulk for the weigh-ins. And these guys, they had a fight. And remember, it was like a weird stoppage.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like Ion Kutalaba was like doing like a fake like rope-a-dope thing. And then the ref just called it off and they're both like still standing.
Right.
So this is finally the rematch that is going to happen.
Okay.
So,
nice. Good backstory. I like it.
Thank you.
And a guy that you know, Stefan Struve.
Sweet Struve.
Is fighting Tai Tuivasa. That's going to be a good fight. McCorkle, the heavyweight, who wins this fight?
I'm going to always go with Struve because anybody Struve beats makes me look a little bit better, right, if he loses it better. So, somebody figured out one day, like, I'm the lineal champion, like, if somehow because I beat Mark Hunt, who beat someone else, who beat someone else, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I was rooting for Mark Hunt in every fight except my fight with him, and he won six in a row after I beat him. And then I told him on Twitter because I was always a huge fan. I told him, I said, dude, I've been really excited about your six-fight win streak. That's cool, man. Congratulations. He goes, it'd have been seven if you hadn't beat me, a prick. Or whatever like that. I was like, cool. Like, I still can't be friends with you. I keep trying to be friends, and he has no interest at all. So
I think he was – you don't think that was just being nice?
No. I mean, he was probably joking, but he after the fight, I apologized to him because I broke his arm, and I felt terrible, man, because I know that's – I mean, when a guy's making his living like that, you don't want to end somebody's career. And I went up to him after the locker room. I said, dude, I am so sorry. You know what I mean? Or whatever about your arm, whatever. He goes, yep, cool. And I was like, no, really, like, now really, really sorry. Like, I felt like if I was going to get submission, I was going to split it with him or something so he could pay to fix his arm or whatever. But he was having nothing to do with me. I tried to talk to him like two or three other times. I think he was so sure he was going to win that the shock made it impossible for him to accept the loss. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so. Right. So you beat Mark Hunt, who beat Stefan Struve, who beat the champion, who beat Stipe.
So. Yeah, more or less, I'm the champion. I think
so. Six degrees of having a belt.
Right.
Don Fry, you're probably still the champion somehow, right? I mean, Don Fry beat. I gotta think.
Yeah. Don Frank actually was the champion, though, so that's the difference.
That's a good point. He was the champ. Also, Sam Alvey is fighting Da-Un Jung. Sam Alvey was, like, the happiest guy ever, remember? But now he's becoming, like, evil Sam Alvey. He's, like, cursing and, like, he's getting fucked over now. He's went from a baby face to a heel, wrestlers call it. And then Casey Kenney, who looked great in his last fight, he's fighting Nathaniel Wood, who's also a good fighter. Umar Nurmagomedov, I guess Khabib's cousin. He's in the UFC now. He's 11-0. How good is his family? I mean,
I love the way that every single male from the region looks like Khabib.
Yes.
They've all got the same hair, the same beard, but also the same face.
It's almost like they've been inbreeding at some point along the way. I don't know.
Very valuable inbreeding.
Have you ever trained over in Russia, Don?
With the females. Yeah, I trained with the women's gymnastics team.
That's really creepy. We're not even going to go there.
I wonder what Greg Fry thinks about Russia in general.
Yeah, Greg Fry, what do you think about Russians?
Russians, listen, they got hot ladies and cold vodka. I like me some Russia. That's what I like. You give me that cold vodka, them hot ladies, and I'll fuck the whole country.
So, Greg Fry, how old were you when you lost your virginity?
I lost my virginity when I was minus 3 weeks old.
Wow.
Not a lot of people know this. I climbed out of the womb. I found this other little girl, and we did a thing, and I'm back in the room. And 3 weeks later, I was born a man. Already had a mustache.
That is amazing. I've never heard of that. Crawling out of the womb, fucking, and then coming back in, and then being born with a mustache.
Well, it was more about the umbilical cord. I only could go so far.
Wow. And how old was the girl that you fucked?
28. Wow. But she wanted it. She wanted it. She kept rubbing me through the belly. She kept fucking tickling it up. So I gave her what she wanted.
Of course.
I heard before Don was born, they were doing the ultrasound. They looked in. They said, congratulations, you have a boy. They're like, oh, can you see his penis? He's like, no, he's got a mustache.
Dude, Don Fry's penis has a mustache. That's how that's how manly it is. It has its own mustache.
Now, I was thinking earlier when Don said he was on the toilet, I was thinking, I bet his turds come out like wolf turds. Like, they got like hair in them from fresh game.
And bones.
Without skinning. Like, I don't know.
Now, Don, did you go to the Trump rally in Florida yesterday?
No, I didn't miss that one. In Florida, I told you. I was over here meeting the guy who killed Bin Laden. So, I got the better. I love Trump, but goddamn, you got to meet anybody who whacked that piece of shit Laden for us, man. You got to.
There you go.
Stand up for the man.
Of course.
USA! USA!
I love this.
Of course. Hey, listen, man. Look, absolutely. So, are you now? Is Trump coming to Arizona?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. Shit. He won't return my phone calls, so.
All right, Greg, what do you have coming up?
Well, go ahead, Don.
I just say he's pissed because Melania keeps calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know?
I mean, why wouldn't she?
It's embarrassing.
Of course. She was one of the girls.
I call you up. She was the Don Fry. Don Fry, you are the number one man.
She was captain of the gymnastics team back in the day when you went over there to train. Greg, what do you have coming up?
Oh, well, for me, listen, guys, I did finally today release the first part of the documentary I did about my sister. It's called The Girl Who Died Three Times. I'm releasing it in parts every Tuesday, and it's all about her experiences with the afterlife and dealing with demonic possessions and spirits and seeing ghosts and all kinds of crazy stuff. And also, it is to promote her GoFundMe because she does need a kidney transplant. And so we've started a GoFundMe for her, and it's tied to the, you know, the whole documentary release. So just you can see it on my pages on Facebook or on Instagram at Greg Romero Wilson, or on YouTube or on Twitter at The Greg Wilson. So you can look it up there, or just search The Girl Who Died Three Times, and you can find that on YouTube. You can find it on Instagram. Find it on all the major socials. So that is that's the project I just launched today, and we certainly would appreciate your support.
Wow, good for that's awesome. Don, what do you have coming up? Anything?
Shit. But I'm not gonna tell you because I don't want you to know.
He doesn't want Melania tracking him.
Don, you make my whole week, man. This show makes my whole week. Ween Doug, what do you got?
Go subscribe to the Joe Perez Show on YouTube, and that's it.
McCorkle.
I've actually got a documentary myself I'm releasing. It's about
here we go.
Guess who? It's about Brendan Schaub. It's called The Comedian Who Killed Zero Times. So it will go along really well with Perez's documentary.
The comic who dies every night. The comic who dies. Awesome.
That's six. We got in a clean, a nice half dozen.
Did you hear when he came to Indianapolis, someone called in a bomb threat to the comedy club he was performing at? Like, that's they legit seven. Did, and they were saying it's because he was going to bomb, and the people didn't get it, and they called the cops and had him come out
God.
And put the dog and search, and it was so funny. So,
oh, my God.
I'm not going to say I had something seven. To do with that, but I'm not going to say I didn't either.
All right, so Friday, right before you – Friday, October 23rd, I'm doing a live show from a club, from Flappers, and you could stream it. You could buy a ticket. It's only $10. I'm doing an hour set to get ready for my hour. So I'll be posting it. Follow me at Adam Comedian on Instagram and Twitter. That's what I'll be doing. Thank you guys so much. You guys are the best, and have a great week.
See you guys.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Τα δεστώ, τα ντόρπο, τα μόρο, τα... Yeah, yeah.